Welcome to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast, a deep dive into biblical leadership with pastor and author, Dr. Gerald Brooks.
Hi, this is Gerald Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. I'm just so excited to share the lesson today. We're going to talk in just a minute about stepping into leadership. Just what do those steps look like when you begin to lead? And I think it's going to be helpful to a lot of people. So let me just start and give you some dates that I would love for you to put on your radar screen. April 25th, it's a Thursday, I'm going to be in Rancho Cucamonga and I will be doing a roundtable. I'm telling you, the roundtable content is just amazing. The information that I'm covering on for your church to be bigger, your team has to be better, is just fabulous. But let me also say, whether it's a church or a business, it's fabulous. And so if you're a business person, you will love this content because it will teach you how to make your business bigger, your church bigger, by managing your team better. And so I want to encourage you to come. You can sign up at my website, GeraldBrooksMinistries.com. And then on May 6th, I will be with Pat Murray in Dayton, Ohio. Pat's just a dear friend, just a remarkable leader, and I love him so much. And we'll be doing a half-day roundtable. It'll start at 9. It'll be over at 12. If you're in that area, you can go to my webpage and you can sign up there. And then on May 7th, I will be in Raleigh, Durham, doing a roundtable. And this will be an all-day roundtable. And again, we'll be covering the content that we're covering in Rancho there, and it'll be the full extent of it. And so, as I tell people all the time, when you listen to something, you add. When you're in the room, you multiply. When you get in a room with a leader, it changes. When you get in a room with a lot of leaders, it changes you a lot. So I want to encourage you to come. Again, I want to talk to you today about stepping into leadership, just taking those initial steps. And I want to be transparent. I want to be honest. And so we're going to try to give you just some real data, some real facts about leadership and the reality of it, and what leadership looks like and what leadership feels like. So let me just dive in, and let me dive in on the deep end and not on the shallow end. Stepping into leadership, the first thing you need to know is it's hard. It's hard to lead. It's hard to lead because of the culture that we're in. Everyone wants to be a free agent. Everyone wants to just be themselves and to consolidate people into a team format to begin to get people to work for a common good or common cause. It's not an easy thing. So I want to be upfront with you. Leadership is hard because of the culture we're in. Everybody wants to focus on being an individual first. As I like to put it, most people want to be better at me instead of we. But the truth of the matter is that people who succeed in life are always better at we than me. I think I've told this story before. I was watching an interview of the first lady who ever made it to the top of Mount Everest. And as she was being interviewed, of course, accolades are coming in because she had achieved something no other lady had achieved and had literally broken a glass ceiling, if you want to use that, but it was a mountain ceiling. And she had just done a fabulous job. But there reached a place in the interview when the interviewer said, "What was it like to be on the top of the world alone?" And she paused and she said, "Well, it's clear to me you've never been on the top." And it was sort of like an affront to the person doing the interview. And they said, "Well, what do you mean?" And the person who had just succeeded in this feat looked at him and said, "No one gets to the top alone." See, you can go so far by yourself, but you can go further with others. You can do so much yourself, but you can do more with others. But that type of mindset is different than what our culture is creating right now because it's all about the individual. And as I like to tell my congregation frequently, there's this phrase, "Well, just be you." And honestly, you don't want me to just be me. Some of the things that I would think that you don't know that I think, or I feel that you don't know that I feel, you don't ever want me to give in to those. You don't want me to ever let those come alive in my life. How about if we change and have a better standard instead of just be you? How about just be like Jesus? That's a better standard. But to get people in our culture to begin to walk together is a hard thing. And there's complexity to it, and we're going to talk about some of that, and sometimes there's confusion about it. But the bottom line is, the Bible says that a one-strand cord is easily broken, a two-strand cord is harder to break, and a three-strand cord. And what he's saying is, the more cords you add to your rope, the stronger your rope is, and the more your rope can do. And that's the nature of leadership. The more that you add people into your life and you develop people around you, the more you can do, the more they can do, and the stronger you become together. There's a lot of tired people out there, but they're tired because they've gone alone. When you have other people tapping in and tagging in with you, you can do more and you can go longer. The second thing I would say is it's biblical. Whenever God does something, he starts with a leader. Now, this is where it gets a little bit dicey when it comes to leadership, because I'll have people, when I teach leadership, saying, well, I don't want to be a leader. I just want to be a servant. And boy, does that sound good, and that sounds like humility, and it sounds like, purity. But the problem with that is that God never imagined a leader who wasn't a servant. Only the world imagined that. And as I said frequently, if you embrace the world's leadership, don't lead, because the world's leadership is about the leader. God's leadership is about other people. And all of you've heard me say it before. It's what I've said for decades to my team. And, you know, dear friend of mine, John Maxwell, put it in his book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws, under the law of sacrifice. And it simply says this: that when you become a leader, you lose the right to think about yourself. Leadership isn't about you. Leadership is about helping others and serving others and maximizing your life to impact others. And so I get it. You know, if you want to say, well, I just want to be a servant, that sounds pure. But understand, Jesus never envisioned that a leader would be anything other than a servant. And so don't get into word jousting. Just become a leader like the Bible says. God chose Moses. He started with a leader, but then he surrounded him with leaders in Exodus 18, people who could manage 10, 100, 1,000, and then 10,000. God moved on, and he found Joshua to be a leader. But then what did Joshua do? One of his first things was he went to the captains of the people. He went and he began to deal with the leadership framework that he had. David was a man who was chosen by God to lead. But what did God do? He sent him people that eventually became the mighty men of valor. And then Gideon was chosen to be a leader. What did God do? He surrounded him with 300 other leaders. When Jesus came into this earth, God's gift to this world, what did he do? He could have chosen any model, but he chose 12 people, and he said, I'm going to invest my soul, my life in them, and they're going to be leaders. And then he chose 70 others, and on the day of Pentecost, there were 120. What had he done? He had maximized his life by creating leaders around him, and those leaders are going to change the world. Jesus changed eternity, but the leaders changed the world because of what Jesus had done. And then the apostles, when word came out in Acts chapter 6 that there were some disputes within the church, what did they do? They realized that problems are usually resolved by leaders, so they said, find seven men of good repute. In fact, it gives us a sevenfold test in there. And then wherever Paul went, what did he do? He raised up leaders. And we know that there were elders in Ephesus. But then when he raised up Timothy and he raised up Titus, he gives them a whole list of things. And he says, look for people that can do this. Why? You're going to need leaders. Leadership is biblical. You have to ignore a whole lot of the Bible to ignore leadership. So the first thing I'd say is it's hard because people want to just be focused on them. Selfishness is the flavor of the day. And it's hard to get people to think in unselfish terms. And so there's the hard part of leadership, but it's biblical. It's something that God's asked us to do. And leadership is an important part because whenever God did something great, he started with a leader. And so the things God wants to do right now, it involves being a leader. The third thing is it's continual. And as I like to tell people, there's no such thing as a part-time leader. In fact, in the organization that I lead, churches, I tell people, you don't get to lead on the stage and not lead in the rest of your life. Because leadership is continual. No matter where I'm at, I'm a leader. No matter what time of day is, I'm a leader. It's 24/7. And so it's 7 days a week, it's 24. And people say, man, I just don't want that. Well, that is the nature of leadership. It is continual. I'm always in a mood where I'm going to have to think through from a leadership perspective, what am I saying and what am I communicating? What are people seeing? And as a result of that, you begin to understand it's continual. And so as Jesus put it, and it's my life verse, I've not only ordained that you bear fruit, but that your fruit remain. And so I want to encourage you that it's continual. But the reason it's continual is the next principle is it's personal. You're not going to lead anybody else until you can lead yourself. Leadership starts with you. And you're not going to lead anyone further than you've led yourself. So leadership starts with you, and leadership goes as far as you. And so what does that mean? Growth is the mandate of leadership. Every day you have to grow. Every day you have to learn. Every day you have to do something and do it better. Every day you have to maximize your time, your talent, and your treasure. And you have to lead personally. I know a lot of people who are very good at expressing their opinions about others, but they're really bad at leading themselves. And ultimately, leadership is personal. How are you growing? And where are you growing? It is a passion of me. I never want to grow. It's a passion for my congregation. I never want them to come to a service where we're not asking them to grow. As I tell people, the problem in the world today is that people have substituted information for transformation. Information is about what you learn. Transformation is about what you become. And God wants to transform us. And when He's transforming us, He uses us to be the catalyst to transform others. So I just want to encourage you that it is very personal. I want to be transformed. I want to be better than I've ever been. I want to think better. I want to live better. I want to communicate better. I want to be better. I want to be better than I've ever been. It is personal. Another thing about leadership is that it's not only hard that people live with selfish agendas, and if you're going to lead, you've got to lead for something bigger than you, and it's biblical that throughout the Bible, you see leadership there, and it's continual. It's not a part-time job. Whoever leads gets to lead continually, and it's personal. You've got to lead you, but it's emotional. See, leadership is emotional. And it's emotional because you care about something. See, for me, my passion is two things. I want to make heaven bigger. I want to reach lost people. That's passionate to me. That is something that is emotional to me. And what I know is to change your heart, you have to give your heart. So I know I have to be all in. And I know that I have to give my heart to what I'm doing if I'm going to make heaven bigger. But then the second part of my life is I want to make the kingdom of God better. I want to raise up leaders with Christian values. I want it to be the kind of thing that when I walk into a room, that room is elevated, not because of me, but because of the values that God has instilled in me. Just that very thought that when you become a leader, you lose the right to think about yourself. I have people who literally ask this question, when I walk in a room, who do I need to know? Well, that's a great question. Maybe you need to know some people. But when I walk in a room, that's not my question. My question is, who can I help? How can I make someone's life better? And how can I make that life better for God? So I want to make heaven bigger. I want to reach lost, but I want to make the kingdom of God better. Because I want to raise up leaders and I want to begin to, in fact, the school of leadership that we have, the whole heartbeat of that, and I love that room. The reason I love that room is three things. One, it's a room that's not based on problems. Pretty well every room that a leader will walk into will be problem-oriented. You're helping people walk with their issues in life, their problems in life, their challenges in life. But when I walk into the School of Leadership, it's about people who want to grow in life. Now you say, well, they don't have problems. No, they have problems. I have problems. But that's not why we're walking in the room. We're not walking in the room because of our problems. We're walking in our room because we want to grow. And I love that. It's emotional to me to walk into that room, to have a group of people that want to grow bigger and grow better. And I love those people. And I love the people that started with us a couple of years ago. And so that's such a fantastic, but it's emotional. Paul put it this way. He said, we weep with those that weep and we rejoice with those that rejoice. And the first obvious thing is this. If you're going to lead, you're going to deal with every extreme emotion there is. You're going to deal with the highest of highs, and you're going to deal with the lowest of lows. And you're going to probably deal with the highest of highs and the lowest of lows on the same day. But you're not only going to deal with the fact that you have highs and you have lows, but because you're leading, you're going to deal with the fact that other people have highs and other people have lows. And if you lead an organization, there is a organizational high and there's an organizational low. And so leadership is emotional. In fact, I wrote a book entitled The Emotional Makeup of a Leader. And it was when I was going to quit leadership. I was going to step out of ministry. I was tired. I couldn't handle it because I had been taught well how to handle spiritual things. And I knew well how to handle natural things. I just didn't know how to handle emotional things. So a lot of what everyone hears me teach deals with this because it was where I was vulnerable. And so leadership is emotional. But another thing is leadership is visible. Paul told Timothy, he said, be thou an example. And what he's saying is people watch you before they hear you. See, as a leader, you live under the microscope. People are watching what you do and people are watching what you say. And so because they watch what you do and they watch what you say, you're going to live with scrutiny. And someone says, well, I don't think I can live under that kind of weight. Well, please understand God's watching you. And if you think people watching you is hard, live with the weight that nothing is hidden from him. In fact, that's what it says in Hebrews chapter 4 that, you know, he divides between, you know, the joints and the marrow, the spirit and the soul. And all things are naked before him. He sees everything. So, I mean, if you think people scrutiny is hard, God's scrutiny is more difficult. But leadership is visible. People watch you. And they watch you more than they follow you. And they will watch you before they follow you. And they will watch you while they're following you. So just understand the nature of the beast, that it is visible. And you're being watched. And assume that you're being watched. Recently, I was with Cody and Jesse. Jesse's the lead pastor of the church now, just a fabulous leader. And Cody is the hardest worker I've ever seen in life. And he's the glue. He can take what I do on the road and what we're doing back home at the church. And he's the cement that holds it all together. And so I love those two men passionately. And they're just great, great men. But we're literally in a city in Georgia, and we go to grab lunch. And as we go to grab lunch, all of a sudden someone's staring, and they recognize Jesse. And see, the thing is that people see you. I remember getting off a plane in Canada, and as soon as I get off, I'm walking, and someone says, hi, Pastor. I get off a plane in Birmingham, and someone says, hi, Pastor. And I am going to get a car at a rental agency, and someone says, I'm coming to hear you. And then I'm getting back at the airport, and I'm literally getting some more food before we get on the plane, and someone says to me, hey, I heard you last night. Well, the truth of the matter is you're being watched. So live your life in a way that when people watch you, they see something worthwhile. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean that you're without flaws. It just means that you're striving for growth and striving to get better. And see, Visibility means you take responsibility. This last week, I was in a great church, and a very, very dear friend of mine gave me the privilege of having his pulpit. And when I had that pulpit, I'm doing all these services that they do, and it's a growing church, so they do multiple services. But in one of the services, I said something that I shouldn't say. And it wasn't the kind of thing that most people would notice, but it was the kind of thing that I noticed, and it's the kind of thing Jesus would notice. And so before I did this podcast, I called him and I said, hey, I need to apologize to you. And he said, for what? And I said, hey, I made this statement during that particular service, and it could have created the wrong impression to that service congregation. And he just responded with such grace. First of all, he said, it's no problem. Second of all, thank you for letting me know that. But another thing is that, you know, when you live with scrutiny, they scrutinize you and they're going to see bad times. And when you've had bad times, what do? You say, it's my bad. That's what I did today. I said, it's my bad. I shouldn't have done that. And with everything within me, I'm going to attempt not to. I live with high standards, and I want everyone else to live with high standards. But when it comes to my standards, I need to have discipline. When it comes to other people's standards, I need to have mercy. Boy, there's a lesson right there. And then finally, it's prayerful. You're not going to lead unless you're praying. If you're not investing in a relationship that's bigger than you, you're not going to. As I tell people when it comes to prayer, prayer does, first of all, it reminds you that there is a God and it's not you. See, sometimes we live as though we're God, that everything's on our shoulders, and it's not. We're not God. There are things we're responsible for, but He's still God. And the first thing prayer does is it gets the alignment right. And the alignment is simply this, that you reach out and you're reminding yourself, God, you're in control of this, you're in charge. You're reminding yourself on tough days, you're still in charge. And as I tell people in the church world, your stage time can never exceed your prayer time. Your stage time can never exceed your prayer time. And what that means is this, the stage isn't where you need to shine. Prayer is where you need to shine. And if you shine in prayer, you won't have any problem with the stage. So I wanted to give you just stepping into leadership. It's hard. People are selfish, and we're asking people to be better at we instead of me. It's biblical. The Bible's full of examples of it. It's continual. It's not a part-time. It's personal. You've got to grow. It's emotional. You're going to deal with the highs and the lows. It's visible. People are always watching you. And it's prayerful. Nothing I've said is complex, but everything I said is necessary if you're going to step into leadership. Let me remind you that on April 25th, I'll be in Rancho Cucamonga. If you're in California, you need to get there. May 6th, I will be in Dayton. Come and be a part of that. And May 7th, I will be in Raleigh. You can go to my webpage, GeraldBrooksMinistries.com, and sign up for all of these or any of these, but please do so. We look forward to seeing you.
Thank you for listening to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast. If you'd like more information on Dr. Brooks's books, audio, or speaking engagements, please go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com.